Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, I'll be speaking to Janice Hoffmann from Hamburg in Germany, and he'll be telling us about a fascinating tradition for apprentices in Germany called Auf der Walz. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland, and we'll have some great music from Germany and Iceland for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. Ireland has now signed the EU Quantum Communication Infrastructure. This means that all 27 EU member states have committed to working together alongside the European Commission and the European Space Agency. High-performing, secure communication networks are essential for Europe's businesses, educational institutions and governments, both to enable them to run smoothly every day and to share information and adapt quickly in times of crisis. The European Commission this week reached its target of vaccinating 70% of its adult population with at least one dose in July. In a statement, President von der Leyen said, "Our target was to protect 70% of adults in the European Union with at least one vaccination by July. Today we have achieved this target and 57% of adults already have the full protection of double vaccination." Here's President von der Leyen.
"The European Union has kept its word and has delivered. Our target was to protect 70% of adults in the European Union with at least one dose of vaccination in July. Today, we have achieved this target, and 57% of adults already have the full protection of double vaccination. So these figures put Europe among the world leaders. The catch-up process has been very successful, but we need to keep up the effort. The Delta variant is very dangerous, and I therefore call on everyone who has the opportunity to be vaccinated for their own health and to protect others. And rest assured, the European Union will continue to provide sufficient volumes of vaccines."
One in four EU citizens reported feeling lonely during the first months of the coronavirus pandemic, according to a new report from the Commission's Joint Research Centre. The report shows that feelings of loneliness doubled across all age groups in the early months of the pandemic. There was a fourfold increase in loneliness among 18 to 35-year-olds compared to 2016. The research also shows that loneliness and social isolation have harmful repercussions on mental and physical health, as well as significant consequences on social cohesion and community trust. Both loneliness and social isolation are hence increasingly recognised critical public health issues that deserve attention and need to be addressed with effective intervention strategies. The COVID-19 pandemic has also dramatically reshaped Europeans' lives and social practices. Mobility restrictions and social distancing measures adopted to contain the spread of the virus prompted public discussions on the unintended side effects of such provisions. In particular, some fear that the toll of loneliness could have consequences long after the virus recedes. The European Commission and Consumer Protection Cooperation authorities have asked Google to make it clear when it acts as a direct seller or intermediary and to improve its compliance with EU law in general for its various services. Consumers need to know how the results of their search in Google's online search engine are ranked and if payments may influence the ranking. Recently, the European Commission presented an ambitious package of legislative proposals to strengthen the EU's anti-money laundering and countering terrorism financing rules. The complex issue of tackling dirty money flows is not new. The fight against money laundering and terrorist financing is vital for financial stability and security in Europe. Legislative gaps in one member state have an impact on the EU as a whole. Here's an extract from the press conference given by Mairead McGuinness, European Commissioner for Financial Services, Financial Stability and Capital Markets Union.
Behind the story of money, dirty money, are terrible crimes which are awful for citizens, society, families and communities. And therefore tackling money laundering is tackling crime at its very heart. And in essence, we have looked at where the gaps are in our regulatory framework and we've said enough is enough. So today's package is a response to very, very prominent cases, scandals, if you like, of money laundering in the financial system. And we believe that the package will plug those gaps in our current framework. It's about consistency, it's about harmonisation, and it's about supervision and enforcement. Valdis has talked about this new authority, which is now regarded as essential by Member States and indeed the European Parliament in order for us as a European Union to tackle money laundering at the very heart. Because this authority will not just be coordinating at EU level, it will also work with the financial investigative units within each Member State and have better coordination and harmonisation. One of the issues that has certainly been raised by the financial system is that if they work across border, there are different rules in different member states on money laundering. So that isn't effective, it can be costly, and it certainly doesn't work. We believe this package will end that, where we have fragmentation across the single market and therefore improve our work in addressing money laundering. So, for example, we're also setting up a system to connect national registers for bank accounts, and this will provide faster access for financial intelligence units and other authorities to get access to key information. We will give law enforcement authorities access to this system, speeding up financial investigations and therefore the recovery of criminal assets. And that will, of course, be subject to strict rules for access to financial information. And as I've said, we are introducing an EU mechanism for coordinating national financial intelligence units, which will strengthen the very backbone of our system. Cash remains really important for our citizens and for the Commission. However, we want cash to be clean. We don't want dirty cash in the system. So we have proposed a limit of €10,000 across the European Union as being an appropriate level. Many member states already have much lower levels, and that will stay. That is not to change under the system. Others have no limits, and I'm sure there will be a conversation around that. But I'd hope that our citizens would understand the reason behind our concerns with cash, because large amounts of cash can be washed through the system where there are not controls on the limit value. So 10,000 is our proposal. And equally, the whole financial world is changing. Crypto assets are now common currency, if you like, but they're anonymous. And I would refer you perhaps to the Financial Action Task Force website for a very simple graphic of how criminals corrupt the crypto asset marketplace. And we are tackling that. And I think that is just timely that we are doing that. So we shouldn't have different rules for the financial system. They should apply across digital currencies as well.
Þótt ég sigli sjá, þótt ég slái með ljá, þó að allt sé á tjá og tundri. Þá ég ánægju á, ást og hamingju þrá, ljúft lífið mér hjá.
Yeah. Broadcasting on 103.2. This is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
The German tradition of the journeyman brotherhood is centuries old, originating in the craftsman's guilds of Europe during the Middle Ages, and it is still practiced today. In the past, every young craftsperson who aspired to be a master was, following his apprenticeship, required to leave home and not return for 3 years and a day. They had to stay at least 50 kilometres away, but the journeys of the more adventurous candidates involved crossing oceans and continents. Recently, Europe Today chanced upon a stranger from Germany who passed through Dublin City. Janus is a journeyman carpenter who has completed his apprenticeship at home in Hamburg, Germany, and is now auf der Welt, on the road. Janus, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Janus, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about, first of all, this tradition of auf der...
Auf der Walz.
Auf der Walz. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit about how this all works.
You know, if you finish your apprentice in Germany as a craftsman,
okay,
it doesn't matter what you are, if you're a roofer or a joiner, carpenter, okay, hairdresser, yeah, you can decide either to start working,
yeah,
or to start a journey for 3 years and one day. The idea of the whole thing is to go out into Europe and the world and,
yeah,
collect some,
yeah,
experiences,
yeah,
and your trade, and to come back home after 3 years. As a well-experienced,
yeah,
for example, carpenter, and get to know new people and new cultures and learn how they build houses in other countries.
Yeah, yeah.
And in medieval, it was necessary to become a master, to be able to lead other people.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays it's just a free decision to do it, but it's nice to keep this tradition alive. And there are not too much people around doing this. They guess that we're around about 800 or 900 people.
Yeah,
in the world.
As far as I know, it's run through an organization. Is that right? There's an organization.
Not a common organization. It splits into different. I think organization is the wrong word. It's smaller than that.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a guild or something
That. Yeah, like, guild might be the right word. Yeah.
So when you finish your apprenticeship, do you have to approach the guild and tell them that you're interested in taking this journey, or how does that?
There are many different ways.
Okay.
What was the way you decided? I'm a little bit out of competition for these guys.
Okay.
In Germany, we call it Wildreisend. That means that we're guys like me. We're not part of these guilds.
Okay.
We do it just our own way.
Okay. Right.
But I mean, in the medieval, it was just people started this thing because there was not enough work for the whole family.
Yeah.
And so they just sent the children away from home so they could try to find some work in other countries.
Well, I presume the idea is, though, that as you go back, after the 3 years, you go back with the accreditation of having done this particular journey. I presume that's the idea. And it gives you a slightly higher quality to your work than somebody who hasn't done it, or does it really make any difference?
It's in my experience, there are many very interesting jobs on this journey.
Right. Okay.
That I would have haven't got when I would have stayed at home.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I was building Viking ships in Norway and building furniture out of old wooden beams out of the barn.
Right, okay.
And this is something you're not really doing when you're employed.
I thought there was the organization was based in Germany, and then they have a list of companies throughout the world that would be familiar with the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And they can help you find employment in the particular country that you've come to, but you haven't utilized that.
I don't know about it.
Okay,
I don't think so, that there's a list of companies that are part of it, but at least in Germany, everybody knows about it.
Right. Yeah.
So,
now we have to emphasize that Yanis is dressed in traditional clothing, and. Again, for this is radio, obviously, so they can't see. So perhaps you can tell us a little bit about the whole idea of the clothing and why you wear the traditional clothing.
How did you make a decision for your clothing
as well?
Yeah, it's some kind of a medieval carpenter's woodworking clothing, and everything about it has a tradition. You know, there's what do you call this?
Buttons. Yeah.
Buttons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have six buttons on my jacket. That means 6 days a week of work.
Very good.
I have 8 buttons on my vest.
Okay.
Beneath it. That means 8 hours a day.
Okay.
And
so a lot of significance even just to the and the hat. I think everybody has to wear the hat. They have some sort of a hat they have to wear.
It stands for freedom.
Okay.
If you finish your apprentice, you wear the hat and you're a free man. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
Except, of course, you have to follow some rules and behave in a good way. And I mean, the only thing that people like I have is a good reputation. Everyone has to behave in a good way and has to be brave and whatever.
Yeah.
And that means that I shouldn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't cheat at anyone because the next people like me will join this construction site and they have to lean on my reputation.
On your reputation, exactly.
Yeah.
Very interesting, almost like the Sikhs in Kashmir, the way they have their clothing. They wear the turban and they wear little silver bracelets and all sorts of things as well to have that tradition that people will know that they are very upstanding character, that they have a very good character. So this is, again, just a sort of a demonstration of the fact that you're committed to your apprenticeship and also committed to the tradition as well. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in Dublin at the moment, Yanis, and how long will you be here?
Two more days.
Okay. Well, I caught you at the right time, so fantastic. And where to next?
That's a good question. I have decided, usually we're not allowed just to spend money for accommodation and traveling.
Yeah.
But I met a friend of mine and we're here together and she's going to the airport tomorrow in 2 days. That means that I will join her and I will ask the what do you call her? The girl at the airport who's working there. What is the cheapest flight inside of Europe? And
this is in Dublin Airport. She's just going to go to Dublin Airport and say, "Where's the cheapest flight?" And I go there.
Maybe. Depending on what it is,
I would
like to go more south. You know, we used to follow the weather. If it gets cold, of course we go more south, like in France, Morocco, and Spain. And if it gets cold, we're going to Norway and Ireland.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
The thing is, we're just allowed to wear those clothes, and okay. It's too cold in the winter and too hot in the summer.
And can you sort of go back to Germany and skip back out and go home and come back again, or do you have to stay out of the country?
I could, because I'm not fixed to these guilds rules.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But usually,
but if you were if you did decide to go through the guild,
you wouldn't be allowed. They need to stay away from home. There's a diameter of 50 kilometers around the hometown, and they are not allowed to get into this diameter.
Okay.
And they can go there after 3 years and one day, but.
And will you still get an accreditation from? Will your journey be recognized by the employers in Germany when you go back to say that you've done it, even though you've done it outside the guild? Or how does that? Would that be?
There's a difference. If you're inside of the guild, you have a book, and all these employees that you work for, they will sign your book.
You
can go to the what is it called, Bürgermeister,
the mayor
and he will sign that book, and so after these 3 years you have, I don't know, 4 or 5 books the places you've been and all the people you work for, and but I do not have one of those books.
Okay.
This is one of the disadvantages if you're not inside of the guild.
The guild,
you don't have the securities, you don't have the background and these books. But on the other hand, you have the freedom to not be fixed on the rules of this guild.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. And maybe you can keep us posted as you go through your journey. Maybe we can get in contact with you from the different countries that you're in, and you can tell us what's happening if you go to. If you're in Reykjavik or somewhere, maybe you can tell us how somebody who is out there is getting on, and maybe you tell us a little bit more about your journey. Janice, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me, and good luck with everything.
Thanks for having me.
I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Coming up next is Don't Get It Twisted with presenter Hayley J, so I hope you'll stay tuned. If you want to get in contact with Europe Today, give us a ring on 865-8020, that's 865-8020, or you can text us on 087-977-1032. That's 087-977-1032. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week, and your programme, Europe Today.